السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is my second lecture in a series entitled Tawheed versus Trinity. Before getting into the details for today's lecture, let me just quickly recap what we learned in the first lecture. In the first lecture, I was talking about Tawheed. You see, when it comes to Tawheed and Trinity, we can't disprove or try to give evidence against the Trinity or try to rebut the doctrine of the Trinity without first understanding what Tawheed is. So the very first thing that we have to do is understand what is Tawheed, and we talked about that in the first lecture. How do you define Tawheed? Tawheed means oneness. God is one. He's indivisible. He cannot be two in one or three in one or four in one. He's one being. He's one person. Whether it's in terms of numbers or status or in any sense whatsoever, he is one. So that's Tawheed, and we were talking about, and you can refer to the first lecture to understand this in more depth. Then we moved on to two arguments in favor of the Tawheed. In order for us to talk about Tawheed and Trinity properly, first of all, we need positive proof or positive evidence of Tawheed, or for Tawheed, for the sake of Tawheed. You can't, anything in life, you can't disprove someone's beliefs or someone's ideas without presenting evidence for your own belief and doctrines. You can't do the negation before the positive side. So positively prove Tawheed before you can move on to negating the concept of Trinity. And so, you know, I mean, it would be a fair question if you go to a Christian and say, no, the Trinity is wrong, and this is the reason. He has a right to ask you, well, you believe in Tawheed. What is the evidence for Tawheed? First, give me the evidence for Tawheed, and then we'll talk about Trinity. So that's why we talked about Tawheed. We talked about why we believe in the Tawheed. Two arguments. One argument was that Tawheed is a concept that exists in the entire world. All the major religions in the world present the concept of Tawheed. And this is a worldwide common belief. Again, for details, you can refer to the first lecture. And the second argument that we talked about for Tawheed is that the universe, if you look at the universe, if you look at nature, it gives evidence. It points to oneness. You look at anything, even a drop of water, it's spherical, it's round, it represents oneness. It's not triangular. It doesn't have three ends to it that would point to a triune God. That is not true. I know I keep using certain terminologies that refer to the Trinity, and I haven't defined it yet, but we will get to that eventually. If you are patient with me in the lectures, inshallah, we'll get to a point where we can first define Trinity as well. I mean, let's be fair. Let's not take our ideas about the Trinity and impose them on our Christian friends. Let's give them the right to and the option to tell us what the Trinity really is before arguing or before talking about it. Again, I keep using these terms. This is not for arguments or debate or anything like that. This is a discussion. This should be a healthy discussion, and nothing more than that. Today we move on to the third reasoning or argument that we have for Tawheed. Again, this is in light of the writings of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. The textbook, like I referred to last time, is Kasr-e Salib. It's a thesis dissertation written by Ataul Mujib Rashi Sahib. It's available on alislam.org. It is in Urdu, so you, only those who can read it in Urdu would be able to refer to it. Page 118, if you can read Urdu, you can join us there. The third argument that the promised Messiah alayhi salam, in his books, in the order that Rashid Sahib has given us in his dissertation, the third argument is based on a verse in the Holy Quran. And that is that if there were more than one God, if there were more than just one God, you would find them fighting. You would find some friction, evidence that they are against each other. And the verse of the Holy Quran that this comes from is chapter 21, verse 23, where God says, "Law kana feehima alihatun illa Allahu la fasadata." فَسُبْحَانَ رَبِّ الْعَرْشِ أَمَّا يَسِفُونَ And this means, if there had been in them, the heavens and the earth, other gods beside Allah, then surely both would have gone to ruin. Glorified then be Allah, the Lord of the throne, above what they attribute. So it's a very logical argument. This is a logical argument. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says regarding this, let me read it again in Urdu for the sake of barakat, for the sake of blessing, and I'll explain what he's saying here. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam farmate hain ki uske wahdahu la sharik hone par ek akli dalil bayan farmayi hai aur kaha law kana feehima alihatun illa Allah la fasadata wa ma kana ma'ahu min ilahin illa al-akhir. یعنی اگر زمین و آسمان میں بجز اس ایک ذات جامع صفات کاملہ کے کوئی اور بھی خدا ہوتا تو وہ دونوں بگڑ جاتے, کیونکہ ضرور تھا کہ کبھی وہ جماعت خداؤں کی ایک دوسرے کے برخلاف کام کرتے, بس اس پھوٹ اور اختلاف سے عالم میں فساد راہ پاتا اور نیز الگ الگ خالق ہوتے تو ہر واحد ان میں سے اپنی ہی مخلوق کی بھلائی چاہتا اور ان کے آرام کے لیے دوسروں کا برباد کرنا روا رکھتا, بس یہ بھی موجب فساد عالم ٹھہرتا. یہاں تک تو دلیل لمی سے خدا کا وحدہ لا شریک ہونا ثابت کیا. What he's saying is that this verse of the Holy Quran that I've just recited and he has quoted here gives us a logical argument for the oneness of God. That is, that if there had been more than one God in the heavens and the earth, other than the one true God who is the possessor of all the perfect attributes, then those two gods, for instance, if there had been two, those two gods would have had problems and difficulties and friction, and they would have possibly worked against each other, and this would have resulted in a sort of, the word used is facade, it would have resulted in deterioration in the universe. The universe would have started to cripple and dismantle, and you would have seen that, and you would have seen some things created by one God and some things created by another God, and they would have been jealous for their creatures. Right, the gods would have been jealous for their creatures, and there would have been that friction against each other, and this would have created problems. And so this is an argument. This is what he terms in the Urdu language, and I'm trying to find the English word, the technical word for this. I haven't found it yet. Maybe in a future lecture I will refer back to this. Is lammi. The Urdu word is lammi, dalile lammi, which means, basically what it means is argument by observation. And this is another argument in favor of the Tawheed or the oneness of God. The promised Messiah alayhi salam himself says that dalil lammi, argument by observation, is the kind of dalil or reasoning where we observe something, and based on that observation we conclude something about that. So for instance, if you see smoke in the distance, the logical conclusion is that there is fire that is causing the smoke, and so you have, that's an argument by observation. And so when we look at the universe and we look at the design and we look at the harmony and we look at the congruity in the entire universe, you would see that this can only be the work of one God. It's not the work of two gods or more gods. Now, I'm already more than 10 minutes, so just to wrap up, we'll go to the fourth argument as well, which is in this dissertation, page number 119. This is a similar argument. That's why I wanted to include it in this lecture. It's also a logical argument, and that's called Dalile Anni. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has explained this. So let me again read the Urdu and then I'll try to explain what he's saying here. So Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam farmate hain, dusri daleel ki qisam anni hai, aur anni usko kehte hain ki madlul se hum daleel ki taraf intiqal kare. Jaisa ki humne ek shakhs ko shadeed tap mein mubtala paya to hame yakeen hua ki usme ek tez safra maujood hai jisse tap chad gaya hai. What he's saying is that the second argument is Dalile Anni, which means that you look at something and you conclude that this is caused by something else, right? Again, I couldn't find the time to give you the technical term, but again, these are technical arguments, so we're just rushing through them. The example here is, you have a person in front of you who is, for example, he has a fever. So based on that, you can say that because he has a fever, he has a high temperature, he is sick. You make that conclusion. So that is the other way, right? So the previous argument was, you see smoke and then you determine that it's caused by a fire, right? Here, it is as if you are seeing the fire and then you're determining that it will cause smoke, right? You see the fire and you say, oh, it will cause smoke. So it's a reverse of the other argument. And this is what it is. So a better example for this one is, you see someone with fever, you can touch him, you can feel that his temperature is high, you can determine that he must be sick. And so this argument is also contained in the Holy Quran. Allah says, قُلِدْ أُلَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُم مِّن دُونِهِ فَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ كَشْفَ الظَّرِّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا تَحْوِيلًا. That is, call unto those who associate partners with God and say to them that if there are other people in existence who can compete with God, who are associates of God, then call them and you will not be able to get any help from them. They don't have any power to remove ills and to remove difficulties, and they can't do anything. They are powerless as compared to God. So when this argument says, it's a bit technical, but this argument says that you can see the evidence in front of you that only God is the one who has full power and control and authority, and no other associates are able to do anything. And even though this is not discussed in these pages, but let me simplify it for you. You look at the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him. And there was a competition going on between the God of the Muslims and the gods and goddesses of the Quraysh, right? In fact, by the end of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was so successful, especially at the time of the victory of Makkah, a lot of people converted to Islam because they said, we have all these goddesses, we have all these gods. They didn't come to our aid, they didn't do anything. But look at these Muslims, they call unto one God, Allah, and he did so much for them. They were like a handful of Muslims, and in 10 years there are these 10,000 who just take over Makkah, right? So that's just one slight example of how we know that there is this one God who has power over everything, and he has his control, and he displays that, and we see that, and we realize that this can be only the work of one God, not two, not three, not anyone else, not his associates, so-called associates. So these are a couple of arguments. Again, today these two arguments got a little technical. They are logic-based, and the Promised Messiah, some talked about them, and that's why I presented them. Inshallah, next time we will go to the fifth argument, and if time allows it, the time allocated, like I said in my previous lecture, that we are only going to have lectures that are about 15 or so minutes long. And so next time, if we have time, we'll move on maybe even to the subject of Trinity, if time allows it. Jazakumullahu ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is a part that I've added. You can consider this second part to my second lecture on the topic of Tawheed versus Trinity. There are some terms that I just used. I just wanted to clarify in the third argument that we discussed, where we say, based on the Quran, it says, if there were many gods, then the universe wouldn't have been possible the way we see it today. The logical term for this form of argument is deductive reasoning. We were using some Urdu terms there in light of the writings of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. But just to clarify, this is a reasoning that is called deductive reasoning. And the fourth argument, which was also based in the Quran, where God says, if there are any partners, go ahead and call them, and you will see that whoever you call other than God, he or she or whatever you call other than God, will not respond and they will not be able to help you. That was the fourth argument that proves the Tawheed, and that is inductive reasoning. Now, what is deductive and inductive reasoning? Just remember that deductive reasoning is from the general to the specific. So you know some general, you can call it premise, some general premise or hypothesis, and then you go into the specifics, that if that general hypothesis or general premise is true, then your specific conclusion that you can draw out of it is also true. For example, all men are mortal. John is a man, therefore John is mortal, right? So you make a general statement about men in general, and you know that John is a man, and then you say John is also mortal, which is a general statement. So from a general, from the general to the specific, that is deductive reasoning. So when we take our example here, the general statement is that if there had been many gods other than God, then the worlds would have not been coherent and the world would not have been the way it is right now. The harmony would not have existed. So the general statement is, if there are more gods, then this would have happened, right? And therefore, there is only one God. So you make a general statement first, in deductive reasoning, and that is the general statement that is made here. And then you make a specific conclusion out of it, that since that has not happened, then the reality is that there is only one God. The conclusion is that there is only one God, because the general statement is true. The general statement is, if there are many gods, then the world would not have been harmonious and coherent. They would have been fighting, and so on and so forth. The whole argument, as I've already presented in the first part of this lecture. And the fourth argument that we discussed, where God is saying, if you wish, you can go ahead and call unto whomever you consider a partner to God, and see what happens. So you're going to a specific, right? God is actually telling us to make a specific observation and then make a generalization out of it. So from the specific to the general. So the specific commandment God is giving us, the specific observation God is telling us to make, is to go ahead and pray. The mushrikeen, the pagans, are told to go ahead and pray to whomever they consider God or gods or goddesses, and see what happens. And God says, what you will notice in your observation is that they are not listening to you, and they won't listen to you, and they can't help you. Hence, you can now make a generalization that there is only one God, and that is Allah. And I gave the example, which fits into this, is that when the Quraysh, they used to pray to their gods and goddesses. They used to go to their shrines, and they used to have these idols in the Kaaba. And when Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took over Mecca, the Quraysh were finally convinced that all these gods and goddesses, they are not true, because we have observed, specifically observed, that they have not done anything for us. So this is inductive reasoning, and the other reasoning is deductive reasoning. So just to clarify, and I've taken a few minutes now, because this was a little technical, I wanted to clarify, there's deductive reasoning and there's inductive reasoning. I hope this makes everything clear now. Jazakallahu ta'ala.